Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter. We're doing text 6 through 8, and I believe text 7 is on the board, so we'll chant that together, and I'll chant text 6 in translation first. Jagu kinara gandharvas tustuvu siddha charana vidyadaryascha nan ritur apsarobhi samam muda. Translation: the kinaras and gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs. The siddhas and charanas offered auspicious prayers, and the vidyadaris, along with the apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. Text 7. Mumuchur munayo deva sumanamsi mudanvita mandam mandam jaladara jagarjur anusagaram. Okay, I'll read text 8. Nistite tama udbute jayamane janardane devakyam deva rupinyam vishnu sarva guhasaya avis avirasadyata pracham visindur eva pushkalaha. Mumuchu, showered. Munaya, all the great sages and saintly persons. Devaha, and the demigods. Sumanamsi, very beautiful and fragrant flowers. Muda anvitaha, being joyous in their attitude. Madam madam, very mildly. Jaladaraha, the clouds. Jagarjuhu, vibrated. Anusagaram, following the vibrations of the sea waves. Nishtihi, late at night. Tama udbute, when it was densely dark. Jayamane, on the appearance of. Janardane, the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Devakyam, in the womb of Devaki. Devarupinyam, Devarupinyam, who was in the same category as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratipava Vita Bihi. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. Sarva Guha Saya, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart. Avirasit, appeared. Yata, as. Pratyam, pracham disi, in the east. Indu eva, like the full moon. Pushkala, complete in every respect. Translation: the demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Brahma Samhita 537, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prati Bhavitabhis Tabir Ya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivyasyat Yakilatma Bhuto Govindam Ari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Brahma Vimohana Leela. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnu Murtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore this verse says, Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarva Guhasaya. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, some texts of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly say Vishnu Rupinyam. In either case, the meaning is that Devaki has the same spiritual form as the Lord. The Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, and Devaki is also Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchidananda Vigraha, appeared from the womb of Devaki. Those who were not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, janma karma chame divyam, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can take birth like an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antaryami, the Supersoul. Thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev, Svayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kamara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishma. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.42, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by devotees, says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet, although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously." Ekatvam anupasyataha, Isupanishad, text 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Purana, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshini, the Lord appeared like the sun, Anugrahasaya. The Brahma Samhita 5.35 confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom, Andartarasta paramamanu chayantarasitam. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he did not live like an ordinary child in the heart or the womb of Devaki, nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asuric conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajopin san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 6. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is Aja, unborn, and he is the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, he appeared as the child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord, who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the Supreme Godhead, one should never regard him as having taken birth like an ordinary child. Amagina timidandasya ginandana salakaya chaksurlan militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayabrupa kadamayam tatati svapatandikam Panchakopa Turubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. To Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. I told Dharmatma I needed a long purport for my class. Run some time. Of course, now that I read through, of course, Srila Prabhupada's wonderful ecstasies, as he would say, his emotional ecstasies. There were different things here that, of course, remind me of Srila Prabhupada. Here, this is all about the appearance of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, and his appearance. And I was trying to relate that to Srila Prabhupada coming to the West, because what he did, of course, was bring that same Supreme Personality of Godhead to us. His appearance, just like Krishna's appearance, over and over again. Lord Chaitanya appeared, gave us the Maha Mantra, which is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Huh? When Prabhupada came, 1965, if you think about it, of course, when Lord Chaitanya appeared And he traveled all around India distributing love of Godhead. We say the storehouse of love of Godhead. But it was all within Bharat Varsha, all within India. There was only possible, if it was to be by one person, it was only possible to happen when Prabhupada came. Who was going to go? And there was no flying, there were no commercial flights going around. There were a few airplanes there in World War II, twin propeller planes, things like that. But by the time 1965 came along, 1966, the possibility of traveling all over the world was there. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He didn't take his first flight until, I believe, 1967, when he flew from New York to San Francisco. But that was a beginning of 10 years of him literally bringing Krishna everywhere around the world to fulfill the prediction of Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and his spiritual master. It could only have happened at that time. And as soon as it was able to happen, it happened. This is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was the eagerness to distribute love of Godhead to everyone by Lord Chaitanya. As soon as it was available to do, Srila Prabhupada was chosen as that person who was going to do it. And just like it describes the joyousness of the demigods, the apsaras, showering flowers, I remember being with Srila Prabhupada. At that time, 1971, 1972, when Prabhupada came to the West, many of us, we didn't know anything about God. We had no idea whether there was a God or not. Prabhupada literally opened that storehouse of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya freely gave love of Godhead to all of us. I remember those days when we came to Krishna consciousness. These descriptions that are here, these were the feelings we had. We went from suffering in the material world trying to understand what we're doing here, and all of a sudden, Krishna was there, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And that feeling carried on for a very long time. This description of showering flowers, we would regularly do this wherever Srila Prabhupada went. I remember we went to Paris, there was that balcony on the first floor, second floor we say in America. And the devotees, the ladies generally, they would shower flower petals down on Srila Prabhupada. I remember one drive, Prabhupada was in the back seat of the car. This was in England. And he left in the car, and there were many street lights. So there was a car following him. And in that car, the Matajis were in the car. So every time the cars would come to the next street light, they would get out of the car. The Matajis behind Srila Prabhupada, they would run out of the car and they would run over the car Prabhupada was in and just start throwing flowers at the car, throwing flowers at the window. Prabhupada would just sit there, a smile on his face. So this went on. This went on and on a few times till finally they got to one of the lights and Prabhupada rolled down the window. He said, "Thank you very much." They were in ecstasy. They were in ecstasy. This ecstasy was coming through Srila Prabhupada. This ecstasy, if we ever have it, it's always coming by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This is Krishna consciousness. This is our understanding in Krishna consciousness. Everything is coming through the spiritual master. And he was in ecstasy as he was running around the world, one plane to the next, giving out Krishna to everyone. We saw this on his face. You would go to one temple, the next temple, whether he went to Atlanta, Caracas, Miami, everywhere he went, he would sit. He would just sit in the Vyasasan, big smile, watching us jumping up and down. Jamuna tells that story. Not only us, others were coming to see Srila Prabhupada distributing Krishna consciousness. The description is there. Jamuna, she would travel with Prabhupada, she would be leading kirtan. She would play the harmonium and chant. So she was leading a kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, sitting on the Vyasasan, he interrupted her kirtan, and she describes shouting like Lord Narsingadev, Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Namne. And he kept chanting very loudly. And then he indicated to her, keep chanting. So she's chanting Hare Krishna. And he's chanting Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena. And everyone in the kirtan's jumping up and down. Prabhupada was in ecstasy. Jai Shishi Gurnatai Krishna Balaram Radhishama Sundar Lalati Vishaka Ki Jai. Everyone was in ecstasy, but we were just getting glimpses, sharing a little bit of Prabhupada's ecstatic symptoms. But we could feel that. You wonder sometimes, some of us here after 40, 50 years, sometimes don't experience so much ecstasy, huh? We're so much doing service, so many complications. But we remember what was given to us. It was a great gift when we came to Krishna consciousness. It was like something you couldn't earn it, and something that can't happen. It was given at that moment. And we lived off that for many years. That ecstasy Prabhupada gave us, that he gave to us, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, love of Godhead. Everyone was jumping up and down. Little Saraswati was jumping higher than she was tall. And then the next day, Jamuna, she would ask Prabhupada, she said, what happened? Prabhupada said, you didn't see? He said, Narada Muni came to the kirtan. He said, you didn't see? She said, no, I didn't see. We didn't see these things. Prabhupada saw these things. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. Huh? It was very simple in those days. We have to try to keep things simple. Huh? Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is easy for the simple, difficult for the crooked. We always have to remember how to be simple in Krishna consciousness. What it is we're doing and why we're doing it, for the pleasure of their lordships, everything we do. We see every day we have greeting of the deities. Most of the time, Govinda prayer starts as soon as those doors open. That album was called Radha Krishna Temple Album. Came out in 1971. It actually came out for distribution the very week I moved into a temple. And it was, album means it was a literally round record, you know, called LP, long playing, 33 RPMs. You had to have a record player. We would have to get record players to hear this thing. There weren't cassette tapes, none of these things existed. But Prabhupada, he was in Los Angeles. When he heard Jamuna chanting Govindam for the first time, Prabhupada was in ecstasy hearing that. People were there. He was sitting on the Vyasasan. They played it. Vishnu Jan Swami played it for him. They had to go buy a record player to play the album. And Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan and just tears constantly flowing from his eyes. So many witnesses were there to see Prabhupada's ecstasy and seeing what was going on. How the society, it had just expanded. We say waves. It wasn't waves. There were tsunamis of Krishna consciousness as it was being spread around the world. It wasn't just the wave. We see now waves. It was literally a tsunami of love of Godhead. And we all had the very good fortune of being part of that. Get caught up in that. Drowning in it. Drowning in that happiness. Sometimes we drowned in the prasadam as well, Krishna prasadam. But we were all overwhelmed by that. But it was all through Srila Prabhupada. It was what he was giving us. And he's still giving it. We just have to learn how to take it. We have to learn how to accept that mercy by doing our service. This is what we did. 24 hours a day, we had no other desires. I can say for at least a short time, I felt like that. Didn't think of anything. Didn't worry about where you slept at night, what you were going to eat. Money was non-existent. No one had any money. It all went right to the temple, to the treasurer. Big boxes. Most temples had these letter slots. You would come back from Sankirtan and put your bag in the slot. That's the last time you saw it. This was Krishna consciousness. We were just happy to be part of this society. And then Prabhupada would go to his room. He was in Los Angeles. The temple in Los Angeles at that time, as I mentioned, was the world headquarters. And they had bought that church in 1970. And it had three altars they put in the room. And of course, Gaur Natai were there. All these deities are still there. In the center was Rukmini Dwarkadish. And then as Prabhupada was installing in most temples, Jagannath. Because he's very, very merciful. Lord Jagannath, he's very merciful. And we worship Lord Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. But then he would go up to his rooms, which they also had to create, his entire apartment. And it was a very beautiful flat, very nice flat Prabhupada stayed, complete with servants' quarters. So then his servant at that time, he arranged, and they bought from a pawn shop a record player, not even a new record player. They bought from a pawn shop a record player. And Prabhupada sat in his room, and he just played this Govinda song over and over and over and over. He would listen to it for hours at a time, just listening to Jamuna chanting these Govindam prayers. And his eyes were always filled with tears. He was in ecstasy. And we shared that. It leaked out. Prabhupada's ecstasy leaked out all over the world because it was unlimited. The more ecstatic he became, the more it came to him. And he shared it with everyone. I remember we would sit down and listen to those songs. I want to see it play one short. Another one used to get me very ecstatic listening to. These were the very beginning days. We had never heard anything like this. And all of a sudden, through Prabhupada, through George Harrison and the devotees, Shyama Sundar and Mukunda, Jamuna, Malati, others, I get, my hair would stand on end listening to this. Okay. So the idea that is there. We would hear these things, all the devotees. If we ever had a few minutes to sit down and listen to something, all this songs, this transcendental sound, we would become ecstatic. We would be in bliss. Hearing Prabhupada's album, very first song I heard coming to the temple, was it the Happening album, I think it was called? Prabhupada chanting and the sitar in the background. And you would go into these temples that were just converted houses, converted churches, and you would smell incense, and you would smell chaunces, spices. The atmosphere was transcendental. It was something we had never experienced. So Prabhupada all of our senses, he engaged in so many ways. And he was turning the whole world into devotees. Many of you may have heard this story, but I'll tell it today. This was 1975, February, when Prabhupada was traveling from Mexico City to Caracas, Venezuela. So this was, as I say, was very special. Now Prabhupada is seen, was not just some American movement, Europe and America. It was everywhere. He went to South America, Venezuela, stayed there for a week. And on the trip there, it was not a long flight, maybe 3-4 hours. It was a morning flight. Everything was the same. I gave one talk the other day in the garden about Srila Prabhupada's time management. Very, very regulated. When you stayed with him as his servant for some time, you had an idea what was going to happen next as far as time went. Even on the plane, you always knew what was going to happen. So someone gave a bag of prasadam for the flight, one lady. We get on the plane. It was always in coach, economy class. Prabhupada always went in first, sat next to the window. There was no questions. He sat at the window. You knew that. It was very regulated in that way. He sat in the window. I went next to him and sat down. Next to me was Paramahamsa Swami. And we're dressed just like this, shaved heads. Our heads were always very shiny, shaved often. No beards. Excuse me for some. He liked clean-shaven face. He did very much like that. And Prabhupada always shaved, never more than 2 days, I think. He'd never let his beard go for more than 2 days. His head, every 2 weeks, would shave his head. So you knew what would happen, and then you're sitting there, and I have this little brown paper bag, and inside there's an aluminum foil packet of prasadam. So we're sitting on the plane. Prabhupada's hand's always in his bead bag. You can't hear him chanting. You can hear his beads more than you can hear his voice, because he really worked on the beads. And he'd be chanting. And the lights are on, fasten seatbelt, no smoking. That was in the days they would smoke on airplanes. It was horrible. Then, bing, the lights went out. As soon as the lights went out, you saw a little sign. It said, time for prasadam. It was like right there. It changed. Prasadam time. Now, not literally, but you knew. As soon as the lights go out, it means he's going to take prasadam. Just like that. So then I put it down, the table down, have my table down, take it out of the bag and open it up, and it's puffed rice and peanuts. Muri. Spicy. Little chants in there. Yellowish from the turmeric. And that was the plate. We had no plates, no spoons, nothing. It was just this package of puffed rice. I just put it next to him. And very quietly, you don't hear any prayers, no sarira vijaya, no. Prabhupada just started honoring the prasadam. And he had his courses very Vedic way, push it into his mouth. Not his fingers in his mouth, just the prasadam would get in there. And he was perfect. I say, just watching Prabhupada take prasadam, you could go into ecstasy. Just seeing every move he made, you could get excited. Like when I heard that, just I heard 10 seconds of that song, actually hair stands on end. It's so wonderful. That was Prabhupada. It was so wonderful. So he's taking very quietly, and we're sitting next to him, myself and Paramahamsa. And there's nothing else. That's it. That puffed rice, that's all we had that day. So he ate half of it, because he's Krishna conscious. He's also a gentleman. And he sees he has two young, hungry servants next to him. We weren't looking, we weren't lusting after it. We didn't have to think about it. We just knew Krishna provides. Prabhupada provides. He takes care of his servants. He takes care of us. So he's eating and we're doing whatever. So he ate half and then, okay. That means it's yours. Prabhupada's maha maha prasadam from his own plate. Aluminum plate, but it was his plate. From his own hands. So then I shifted over to my table. Put his table up. I don't have any little bottle of water, spray bottle. There's no cleaning going on. There was no going to the bathroom to wash. No, it was very simple. We were simple, not complicated. We didn't know so many rules that had to be followed to do something. We just tried to serve Krishna. That's all. So now I have it in front of me. I'm also gentlemanly. I rip it in half. I have half for me and the other half is for Paramahamsa. It's just puffed rice. It's not going to fool you no matter how much you eat. You're not going to fill up on puffed rice. But it didn't matter. It was Prabhupada's remnants. So now Prabhupada just sitting there quietly. And Paramahamsa and I, we start honoring prasadam. We didn't honor like Prabhupada did, I don't think. We were just enjoying. Prasadam was, that was our enjoyment. That's all we had for sense enjoyment was prasadam. And we ate lots and lots of prasadam every day. So now we're taking prasadam, myself and the Swami. And this young woman, stewardess, is walking down the aisle. And she stops right in front of us because we're very bizarre looking people. This is in Caracas, Mexico City, 1975. They've never seen anything like us. Most of the world hadn't seen anything like us. We were strangers. Like I said, when I saw devotees, I thought they were from Mars. I had no idea where wild people had come from. And she stops right in front of us. And within a moment, she reached past Paramahamsa Swami's plate and takes a handful of the puffed rice from my plate. And she throws it in her mouth. I'm stunned. Paramahamsa's eating. And Prabhupada is, he's aloof, not even watching. And I'm looking. She ate from my plate. And she looks at me. She said, oh, this is very good. What is it? I said, it's puffed rice. She says, well, why are you, you know, eating? I said, well, we're all vegetarian. We have special diet. No one else is even looking at her, you know. And she said, oh, she said, can I get you anything else? Immediately she wanted to do something. That's what we say, we read here, Krishna's in the heart. Huh? If someone's sincere, Krishna's there guiding them to take Prabhupada's maha. It was unbelievable. So I looked at Prabhupada, hot milk. He tells me, he doesn't talk to her. He's sannyasi. He's got his servant for doing that business. He says, hot milk. So I said, we'll all have hot milk. Because whatever Prabhupada we followed, when it came to eating, whatever he would do, we could do. That was our guideline. That was the only rule. If it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for us. So I said, we'll all have hot milk. She said, can I get you anything else? She said, I can go into the first class cabin. She said, if you want some fruit, cheese, bread. So she's talking to me. Again, I look at Prabhupada. I said, yes, okay. I said, we'll all have fruit, cheese, bread. Bring anything. Anything, you bring it. She said, okay. Big smile, happy. Young girl. And then she went off. And I turned to Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, that was amazing. I'm thinking, she's taken your maha. Prabhupada said, this is nature of woman. So women like to serve. very fortunate to be in that body. He said, his natural tendency is to serve. He didn't respond to what I was asking about. He ignored that part of it. And it wasn't my imagination. I saw it happen with my own eyes. And she took part of my meal, you know, so I recognized that. But that's how he responded. He said, this is service attitude. Women have natural service attitudes. And he let it. I said, yes, Prabhupada. So then she came back and served us nice plates, everything. So she had this service attitude. But somehow or other, she got to serve the pure devotee of Krishna and take his Mahaprasadam. If I had a plate of Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam now, you would be jumping over one another to get one little grain of rice, one little grain from Prabhupada's hand. She had many, many grains right from Prabhupada's hands. Anyway, it's always been one of my favorite stories. And I told it one time, it was in Los Angeles. And after the class, the devotee came up to me. He said, can I tell you a story? I said, yes. And he said, well, I'm a Sankirtan devotee. I went, oh, they're the special ones, Sankirtan devotees. He said, in his Spanish speaking, he said, we would go, for years, he said, we would go in Brazil. Brazil, we all know, is where the rainforest, lots and lots of forest in Brazil. And he said, we had to travel in jeeps, four-wheel drives, because the roads, not very nice, a lot of dirt roads, things like that. He said, and we would go from one town to another, try to find the different towns. And kind of like Europe, they have center squares. Sometimes there'd be a water fountain in the center, and that was like the meeting place from everyone around and all their farms out in the country. He said, so we were traveling. He said, and we were in the rainforest. He said, like deep in the rainforest of Brazil. He said, but we found a town, one village. He said, so we stopped, and he said, what we always did, we stopped in the square. We did Harinam, chanted Mridanga cartels, chanted Hare Krishna. He said, then we get back into our jeeps and just go to the houses in the town. He said, and we came to one house. He said, I went up to the door. He's dressed as a devotee. And he goes on the door and he knocks on the door and a woman answers. And he's there to distribute books, but he comes to the door and the woman goes, Hare Krishna. And he's there, Hare Krishna. She said, come in, please. It's so nice to see a devotee. She said, here, nowhere, in the middle of nowhere, to see a devotee. So she welcomes him in and he sees pictures of Prabhupada on the wall, pictures of deities, Prabhupada's books. And he said, you're a devotee? She said, yes. Yes, he said. He said, well, how did you become a devotee? She said, well, the first person I met, she said, was Prabhupada. She said, I was a stewardess. She was the same person. She was the stewardess. She said, and I was on the airplane and Prabhupada was there. She said, then later on, I got a book. She said, then I read the book. She said, and that was it. So this had happened years later. And out of nowhere, also Krishna in the heart, brought this devotee to this same woman's house, who was younger then, I was younger then, he was younger then, but this very same person who was touched by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's potency, it exists. And now, of course, it exists with the deities. It especially exists in his books. I wanted to read one letter, if I can figure this out, what's happening. Okay. Give me a second here. This is a letter to one of the temple presidents. Regarding your question, actually, it is a fact. Ultimately, everyone should preach and distribute books if they want to please me in the best way. Book distribution must be given stress, always. He has spoken the right thing. That means someone else who's talking. If you do this sincerely, it is a fact that Krishna will supply everything else required. So you say that your men are like the four Kumaras disobeying Lord Brahma. Does that mean you're a Brahma? No, probably a little humor there. I guess he said they're not listening to me, just like the four Kumaras. He says, does that mean you're Lord Brahma? But it's a fact. Here in India, we are not arranging for publishing Hindi books in other languages for profuse distribution in India. I think it means here in India now we are arranging. That is my immediate program. I blindly follow my Guru Maharaj. I do not know what is the result. So I'm stressing on this point of book distribution. He told me this personally. Book distribution is Bhagavat Marg and temple worship is Pancharatrika Vidhi. Both are important for cultivating Vaishnavism. But comparatively speaking, Bhagavat Marg is more important than Pancharatrika Vidhi. As far as possible, both should go on parallel lines. But still, Bhagavat Marg is more important than the other. So whatever it is we're doing, we have to have that. We have to have that spirit, that preaching spirit. Prabhupada always, he would always tell the stories. So many stories Prabhupada would tell, but how many times have we heard him tell that story? Sell the marble, print books. Because look at the power of the books, huh? Of course, this devotee lady, she had very special mercy. She took Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. But then, that enabled her also to take a book afterwards. Why she took the prasadam? Again, Krishna in the heart is described in this purport so nicely. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And we have to understand that as well with one another. Krishna is in all of our hearts. So we have to learn, like Prabhupada, to be kind to each other, encourage each other. And sometimes we'll make mistakes. But there are mistakes along the way. So again, we just have to take up this process and help each other. So we can stop here today. Anyone has any questions or comments?
You mentioned that, you know, there was no sariya, but should we minimize that part of her, the rituals, we should minimize?
No, I'm saying, but it's time, place, and circumstance. I remember back in the early days, we would say it in English at the Sunday feast. You can imagine the horror on people's faces when we're saying, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are all networks of path leading to death. And you have people just walking. So there's, you know, there's a way to do things. So on the plane, Prabhupada, he just was very transcendental. Again, he didn't sit in the chair, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. He was quiet. You know, he sat quietly and chanted that way. Like I said, and I could have, you know, and I know devotees, they have little spray bottles of water. You know, I could have probably carried one with me at the time on the plane and sprayed Prabhupada's hands with water. But anyway, we just, things went on that way. But no, these things are... Although I can tell you frankly, but Prabhupada was Prabhupada. You know, when prasadam came, he sat down and started eating. I don't know mentally what he did, but Prabhupada understood Krishna prasadam more than I ever will. When he honored prasadam, he didn't speak, he just took prasadam. I tell many times, if someone was in the room, he would say, here, here, now you can go. Because it was a sacrament. Prabhupada was taking prasadam. And he relished.
So the rituals are important. We should do the rituals. Not rituals, but, you know.
Yeah, to help us.
Us strengthening our mind ready for breakfast.
Yes. Yes, we should do those things. No, it's everything's important. Like you said, offering obeisances all the time. It's important. Not just I did it once or twice as I was passing through the temple, I don't have to do it. And he was not of that consciousness. Always very thoughtful. Yes. Help each other?
Yeah.
Sure.
How can we help?
How can we?
Help each other.
How can we help each other? By encouraging each other. You know, we all have, the society, of course, is 50 years have gone by. So one thing I learned early on, I got to see it in Gaudiya Math, more than we were trained in ISKCON, was they really were very respectful to each other. And they especially, guests would come, they would honor them very nicely, see that they had prasadam, see that they would take rest if they needed to. They saw any Vaishnava that's coming should be taken care of like the Lord himself. This is Vedic principle. So I know our, I think perhaps it came from the West, maybe from the West and the East, but we have a tendency to just kind of dismiss one another. You know, especially, you know, we have all these levels of seniority, this disciple, you know, this spiritual master, that spiritual master. But whoever we are, we have to understand we're all on the same path. We all have Krishna in our heart, and we're all here because we're fallen, not because we're advanced. Srila Prabhupada saw Narada Muni chanting at the kirtan. He saw Rupa Goswami come to an initiation ceremony in Vrindavan. Do we see these things? Prabhupada heard Govindam prayers. Tears would come from his eyes. So until we're at that level, we should understand we're all very similar. But still we offer, as we chant, Shashastakam every morning. But it's to understand those words and apply them. Chanting, giving all respect to others. It's humbler than a blade of grass. How humble is a blade of grass? You tread on it. It said, when you tread on grass, when you pick your foot up, pops back up. So to be humbler means you stay down. That's how humble we're supposed to be. But at the same time, as Prabhupada, listen, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He said, we're proud to be servants of Krishna. So we use that pride to give Krishna to others. That's what we do with that pride. Not that we walk around thinking I'm wonderful. Prabhupada's wonderful and merciful. And we get drops of that mercy. So we need to encourage one another all the time. Especially if you see one struggling, you don't just... Prabhupada's process was one of reforming. Not, he would say, right? My spiritual master said it takes gallons of blood to make a devotee. So we have to... But he also engaged people according to their propensities, and if people had difficulties, it would change their engagements. It's not just blindly doing things. Prabhupada was expert. I saw him have me call people to his room 2 o'clock in the morning. And then he would chastise them when something they had done in the afternoon, they had all these wild ideas. And Prabhupada just sat there, he didn't say anything. And I'm looking, even I was young, and I'm looking and thinking, Prabhupada just... nothing. But then 12 hours later, 2 o'clock in the morning, when the person was sound asleep and completely disarmed, Prabhupada brought him into the room and he just told him, it was nonsense. Your idea is nonsense. This is all nonsense. He couldn't say a word. He was half asleep. He didn't know what to say. So Prabhupada did everything very expertly. But it was, he knew what we could do, what we couldn't do. So we have to use our intelligence. We have to develop intelligence and use it in Krishna's service. Okay. One more question. I'm very attached to prasadam myself, so at 9 o'clock I hear that bell.
If Lord appeared in front of us, what should we have to do? If Lord appeared personally in front of us, what should we have to do?
What was that?
And how we can serve the Lord? If Lord appeared in front of us.
He's always appearing in front of you. Well, that question, there's a famous Badri Narayamara, I always tell, he has a number of Prabhupada stories, and when the person asks in the crowd, he's, you know, argumentative person, you know, can you see God? And he said, yes, but you're standing in the way. The deity was there, he was standing between the deity and him. No, Prabhupada's right here. Krishna's right here. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're all before us all the time. You want to see Krishna, you have to qualify yourself. I understand what you're saying. I used to do that as a young devotee. I said I would meditate in front of the painting of the universal form. And I would look, stare so much, I would see it move. You know, I would see him moving. I don't think he moved, but I wanted to see him moving, so I saw him moving through my staring. You just have to follow the orders of the spiritual master, and you'll see Krishna.
Well, what should you pray? You said, what should you say?
What should you say? You can read Krishna book. You'll understand what, there's so many things you can say. You can constantly, for all eternity, offer prayers. But basically, we always ask for service. Other purport the other day, Prabhupada says, you can't order Krishna, but we beg for mercy. That's what we do. Please let me serve you. They say, if you see him, you can't even see when you first see. You'll be blinded. I was saying in the last class how with Prabhupada, I never saw Prabhupada, you know, walking on air. Devotees would tell me this. They saw Prabhupada walking. His feet didn't touch the ground. Or they went in the room and it was like a million suns. I never saw a million suns. I went in his room every day and I would think, why don't I see a million suns? But I was doing my service. And they saw a million suns so that they could do their service for the rest of their lives. Or they saw no footprints in the sand. On the beach. These things were there. People would swear and other people would verify it. But I just saw pure devotee giving Krishna to everyone. That was enough for me. I didn't need, that was the miracle that I saw, that I was doing something. He had taken me somehow or other and given me an opportunity to do some service. And to this day, he still gives us all an opportunity to do service. So that's the real miracle of Prabhupada. He also said, what his Guru Maharaj would say, don't want to see Krishna, you should have Krishna want to see you. Work in such a way that Krishna is attracted to seeing you. That's how we do our service. Because that's what service means. Devotional service, pure devotional service, you don't expect anything except the service. Look what Prabhupada left this place, Radha Damodar Temple, to go to the West. But he was always with Krishna. But also feelings of separation were always there. It's not that there's one thing and not the other. Everything was there at the same time. So he was in ecstasy listening to these songs as they came out. More than any of us were. Prabhupada appreciated them. But everything will come. And as I said to a God brother this morning, and at the time of death, Prabhupada, take us by the hand and take us wherever we're headed. I've seen it over and over again with God brothers and God sisters. Prabhupada comes, he's there for his disciples, he's there, and he carries you to your next place, wherever it may be. All right, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Thank you.